Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Randy.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. And in case you're wondering about that song, There's a Better Way, it's by a group called Love Shadow, who you can probably find just by doing a Google search. And I just want to give them credit for that really great song. It's very apropos to the message that I want to get across from my show. Carl Jung said, "As far as we can discern, the sole purpose of human existence is to kindle a light of meaning in the darkness of mere being." Jung was talking about living a life of contentment, an authentic way of living from the inside that will sustain us through life's challenges. We would all like to be content, so why aren't we? For one thing, contentment is an especially complicated challenge for us in the 21st century. It's very difficult to be content with ourselves and our lives when everywhere we look, we see images of perfection on television, in the movies, in magazines. The social network site Facebook, in my opinion, has one of the worst influences on our ability to maintain personal contentment. Many who post there put only their best feet forward. They brag about all the wonderful things happening in their lives. The representation of who they are is false. Life is just not like that. Still, seeing all that fluff makes us feel as if our own lives are inadequate. Since the world we live in is often challenging, confusing, and stressful, and the things that seem to speak loudest to us are messages of pessimism, the quest to feel optimistic, enthusiastic, and content all the time may seem impossible. We may have fleeting moments of contentment, but sustaining contentment as a way of life is something that seems to elude most of us. We are lost. We need a guidebook or blueprint to follow that will keep us feeling great all the time. My special guest today, Kelly Johnson, has created just that. She co-authored the book, Feeling Great, Creating a Life of Optimism, Enthusiasm, and Contentment, along with Daddy Janki, revered leader of the worldwide Brahma Kumari spiritual movement, and Peter Vegso, pioneer of self-help publishing, who is best known for being the original publisher of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series. Kelly Johnson has worked in the publishing industry for many years, reading, selling, and marketing other people's books. When the opportunity to write Feeling Great with Peter Vegso and Daddy Janki came along, it was an unexpected honor. Kelly gratefully lives near the sea in Satellite Beach, Florida, writing and doing the work she loves. Today, Kelly is going to share with us her formula as presented in her book to getting on the road to fulfillment and really living the life of our dreams. So now it is my privilege and honor to introduce you to my special guest, Kelly Johnson. Good morning, Kelly. How are you?
Good morning, Randy. I'm great, and I just feel privileged to be on the show with you. Thank you.
Oh, gosh. Well, thank you so much. So what was the original impetus for this book? Where did this whole idea come from?
Well, actually, Daddy Janky had written a brochure, a little pamphlet that was entitled Feeling Great. And optimism, enthusiasm, and contentment were her three key points. And Peter Bedzoe read it, and he passed it on to me, and I read it, and we both sort of had the same idea. This is, like, so great that, you know, we wanted to turn it into, you know, a full-length book. So Daddy Janky is 99 years old right now, so she is not writing. So Peter asked me if I would write it based on, you know, her concepts and her philosophies, and that's how it came about. We were so impressed with her brochure.
So what makes this book different than other books about, you know, feeling good?
Well, I would say the primary difference is it really comes down to the authors. You know, we are so diverse, the three of us. Daddy Janky comes from more of a Hindu background, and she has her very own ideas and thoughts about life and what it takes to feel truly great. She has so many years of involvement as a world peace leader. And, you know, so she's got really an interesting all-inclusive philosophy that reaches everyone, no matter really what culture you're from. And Peter Bedzoe, he's a very successful businessman and a philanthropist. You know, he's made his whole life in publishing, really, the pursuit of enlightenment and personally as well. You know, so we kind of call Peter one of the original tree huggers. He's got a great unique worldview as a perspective. And me, I come from a very traditional conservative Christian background. My father is a pastor. So, you know, the three of us are so different in our backgrounds, but yet we found so much commonality when it comes to feeling great and, you know, the need to really sustain that feeling, that it was just, I think it makes it a very unique book from that perspective.
Well, that makes sense. You know, it is great to have such different perspectives on this topic. And, you know, I mean, all roads lead to the same source. So, you know, that's what's so interesting about life is that no matter where you are, somehow it all leads to the same thing. And so I talked a little bit in my intro about what, you know, prevents us in life from really feeling great. But what are some of the greatest drains to live fully contented and engaged in life?
Well, you know, that's one of the purposes of the book is to expose some of those sticking points that we all encounter that prevent us from feeling great. And you mentioned one of them, one of the most important ones in your introduction when you spoke about, you know, Facebook and this image of perfection that, you know, we all deal with every day. That's a really important point. And we talk about that in the book also. We talk about that sort of as a substitution, you know, where we are almost learning to substitute authenticity for, you know, what the world is offering us or that image of perfection out there. And when we get caught up in that that substitution, that, you know, nothing really can substitute for authenticism and learning and knowing who we really are. But substitution is one, forgetfulness, disconnection, disconnection from, you know, our divine source, and even ourselves, our core selves, and busyness. Those are the four primary sticking points, I think, that prevent us from feeling great.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, I like what you said about the authenticism of life. And, you know, I hadn't thought about it that way, although I did, you know, say some of those things. But, yeah, there is so much false imagery in life that we hold ourselves up against. So, yeah, that's a really, really good point. How does love come into...
Love?
Yeah, how does love come into feeling great?
Ah, that's a great question. You know, love is the core. Love is the foundation. And, you know, when I mentioned forgetfulness, you know, a minute ago, that comes into it, too. We kind of forget who we really are. We forget sometimes that you know, we're a child of God, and we instead listen to what other people say about us, or we listen to, you know, what the media, the messages the media is telling us. And, you know, when we forget who we are, sometimes we forget how to love. We forget to love ourselves and others. So it's really important to learn who we are and to reconnect ourselves with, you know, with our the divine source, with God, with, you know, because that's where love is revealed, really within us at a core level, and that is so important in order to really achieve, you know, feeling of optimism or enthusiasm or contentment. We really need to learn how to love ourselves and to see ourselves as we truly are, and then we can share that. And actually, I have a neat story about that, if you want me to tell you real quick.
Sure, yeah, tell us.
Okay, on the cover of the book, you know, we gave a lot of thought to the design of the book as well as the content, of course. And on the cover, in the bottom right corner, you'll see like this gold medallion that's on there. And
that's
part of the image. We put that in there for a reason. That gold medallion really is to represent treasure. And that is a treasure that each one of us has. And it's, you know, we each are on this search, or hopefully we are, to find that treasure within ourselves, to understand that treasure. That treasure is actually love. And when we can find that, we can really achieve amazing things. Plus, we can share it. And we can help other people find their treasure, their love, and share that. So, you know, you mentioned love, and it is such an important part of the whole package, really, is learning who we are, finding that love within us, and sharing it, and helping others to find theirs and share it.
And when we achieve self-love, is it possible for us to attain that without some kind of, I can't think of a better word than work, but effort, maybe through meditation. We have to maintain that, don't we?
Oh, we absolutely have to maintain it. And we call that spiritual gardening, pretty much. And yes, it is. It's really important to maintain it. And, you know, it does take some work. You know, there is no magic pill, magic wand. It really does take time and effort, and the more we do it, the more we practice it, the less effort it really takes, and it starts to become a part of our personality. A lot of our negative traits and habits start changing, and it becomes second nature to us. You know, when we see other people, you know, we start seeing through eyes of love instead of the jaded eyes that, you know, we have grown to and developed, you know, through years of just habit, unfortunately, you know. So, yeah, it's key, absolutely.
Right, and we have to be in touch with the programming that is inside of us that we aren't always aware of, and that programming speaks pessimism to us quite often until we're aware that these are old messages that we, you know, don't even serve us anymore. So there is work that has to be done to get us to that place. How has, after writing this book, has your life changed?
Oh, it sure did, especially, you know, during the process of writing it. There were a lot of things that changed. I'm trying to think of what might be the best example. There are a number of them. Let's say one of the most important things that I learned to put into practice is probably dealing with busyness. You know, we're all so busy today, and, you know, I guess we thought computers were going to make our lives more simple, but they've made it more complex, I think. You know, we've got Twitter, and we've got Facebook, and we've got our blogs, and we've got so much going on that we tend to work in a 24/7 environment. So, you know, we're always reachable, and, you know, so I think a lot of times people just, you know, they know that at any time they can contact us. Our cell phones, our smartphones are always on.
Yes,
so
I hate
we get
that.
We get caught up in a really busy lifestyle. And, you know, so often what happens is, you know, in the mornings we get up and let's say we're going out to work or maybe, you know, we're working at home and taking care of a family. And we start out the day with a mental list of all the things that we need to accomplish. And as we go throughout the day, it doesn't get any easier. We tend to be adding things and adding things to it. And then by the time the evening comes, we are just so inundated with our day, with, you know, getting things done and what we have to do the next day, that it's hard to settle down and calm down and, you know, spend some time being, you know, in meditation or just taking the time to think and calm down. So one of the things that was so important for me to learn is to take the time in the morning, even if it's just 2 minutes before I walk out of the door, to calm myself and, you know, to just not leave with so much going on in my mind that it's built up over the day. But if you can calm yourself in the morning and you can take 2 minutes here and there throughout the day to continue doing that, we find that we can really settle down, we focus better, we make better decisions, and, you know, it's our day, just it changes. We're able to just calm ourselves. You know, and I think that inner turmoil sometimes is truly a destroyer. So that was one of the most important lessons I learned, you know, to especially in the morning to take the time, you know, to focus and to really have a better day.
Thank you for sharing that, Kelly, because I think that's really something that will stick. I mean, it'll stick with me, and it'll stick with the listeners. And I constantly have to remind myself to be in the moment. That's something that we just don't do naturally, is to live in the moment. I'm projecting. I'm always projecting. And that's a stressful feeling, to project about what's going to be, because we don't know what's going to be. So I always keep saying, all right, you know, you're here now. Live in this moment. So that's one of the other things, yeah. I always find when I'm driving, you know, and I'm trying to get somewhere, I always have to take my deep breaths, you know. Inhale slowly,
uh-huh.
Exhale. Just to calm myself down.
But there's such great benefits when we can do that. Like, you know, like I said, just making better decisions throughout the day. And, you know, when we're making better decisions, we're less rushed because we're, you know, not going backwards and fixing things, or, you know, having to double back on a bad decision we made. We can focus so much better. There really are great benefits to it, not just, you know, the feeling of calmness and contentment, but much better decision making.
Right. Now, feeling great, that is a composition of enthusiasm, optimism, and contentment. Can we have one without the other?
You know, I think you can have one without the other, but it's not going to be all that effective, I think. You know, and with the three of them, I've been asked before, you know, which one is the most important. And, you know, my answer to that is probably the most important is the one that you need the most, the one that is most lacking in your life. And to me, that was contentment. You know, I didn't have too much trouble being optimistic or enthusiastic. But when it came down to true contentment, there was a real struggle there. So I think that, you know, that's the reason that contentment, I would say to me, was the most important of the triad. But, you know, I've met people, and I'm sure you have, we all have, that truly lack optimism. They don't see where things are, can get any better. They don't see the positive side to situations. And then there are people who sort of, you know, go through life without any enthusiasm. They're okay with, you know, where they're at as far as being content with, you know, themselves and their surroundings. And, you know, but there's no excitement. They're just sort of, for lack of a better term, a dull normal. You know, they just go through life. And so, you know, for each one of us, our need might be a little bit different, you know, which is good, but we do need all three of them to really be balanced.
Right. I can really relate to what you're saying because, yes, I can be enthusiastic and I can be optimistic, but contentment that's a tough one. That really is a tough one, to be contented with where you are and to not want, you know. I mean, what's the difference between wanting more and being content with what you have? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, can you be fully content and want more?
Oh, absolutely. Because being content really is an internal position. And that doesn't affect us wanting other things. I think it's good to have the drive to want other things and to, you know, achieve more. You know, they're not mutually exclusive at all. And I think that the more content we are, the more able we are to go out and achieve more and to be better at whatever we're doing and to make more of a positive influence in, you know, in the world around us and people around us. Contentment means really that I know who I am and I'm comfortable with who I am. And I have basically everything that I need to sustain me. And there isn't like a deep longing for something else to make me happy. But there certainly can be a great, you know, drive to improve and do more. And there should be. And that's sort of where the enthusiasm and optimism come into it. You know, but I think that core of contentment certainly has to be found in that practice first.
Right. I agree with you. The title of the book is Feeling Great. Now, when you say feeling great, we're not talking about, because, you know, people have health issues and stuff like that, and they may not physically feel great. But so we're really talking about the essence of who we are, feeling great, right?
We are. We're talking about the essence of who we are. We're talking about understanding who we are. We're talking about self-esteem, caring about ourselves and about other people. You know, once we can put some of these things in place, we feel great as an individual. We're still going to go through all the ups and downs in life. We're going to have difficult times. We're going to have sad, painful times, whether physical or emotional. But we're able to weather those storms so much better because of the grounding that we have. And that And that's really where you're feeling great, where you can look back, you know, into yourself and love yourself and other people as well. And that is the foundation, truly, of feeling great. You can go through very, very difficult times, but when you have that foundation, that knowledge of your authentic self, and you value yourself and others, you really can, you know, go through life feeling great on that level. You know, it really helps you manage the tough times.
So how do we get to that point? How do we reach contentment?
Well, you know, we have to make some sacrifices. We have to do quite a bit of work to get there. You know, in order to truly feel great, we have to spend time in introspection. We have to spend the time paying attention to the energy that we put out, the positive and negative energy, and also what we're allowing to affect us. You know, one of the things of feeling great is freedom. And that means we have freedom to choose positive and negative. We have the freedom to say no to things that aren't good for us. Now, sometimes that's hard to actually do, but, you know, we choose what we're going to allow to affect us, and we choose how we're going to affect other people. So, you know, that freedom is a really an important part of feeling great, and as is ego. You know, we really don't realize, unless we make it a point to realize, what effect ego has on everything we do, choices that we make, things that we say. You know, and that's really a tough one, too, to take ego out of the equation and, you know, to live in more humility. And humility does not mean weakness at all. Humility is understanding who we are, respecting other people, and, you know, and that is just so important. What happens very often is, you know, we'll say something and we'll feel a certain way and we'll act a certain way, but yet they're not in accord. You know, we'll say something, but we're feeling something different. And we'll do something, but something else comes out of our mouth. And as long as that conflict is within us, it's going to be difficult to truly feel great. That balance and bringing these things into accord are really important. But we have to take the time to meditate, to pay attention to the negative things that we might be feeling or saying, you know, and make conscious changes.
Right. So that really, removing the ego or moving the ego aside is probably one of the biggest challenges we face in life, because we are born as human beings and ego is a big part of who we are. So we have several challenges in life, but I would imagine removing that ego or moving it out of the way would reduce so many of the challenges when we're just humble and gracious and those kind of things. And, you know, if you're raised that way, if you have that example set by your parents and those around you, that is such a gift, you know. And I talk a lot about healing ourselves so that we raise children that are, you know, that have healthy well-being, and so that you start them on a path of life that's not so difficult. But for those of us who did not have that example growing up, we really have a lot of work to do to get through, you know, to get beyond that.
Well, yeah, that's true. And, you know, often we don't even realize what's going on. We don't realize that, you know, it's our ego that is in the way of improvement. And I mean, I can just tell you one example in my own life that writing this book was so cathartic in a lot of ways. But, you know, one of the things that I struggled with, and I'm sure I still do, is you know, if someone would say something negative to me or about my work, I would be defensive. Right away, you know, the hair on my back would stand up, and, you know, I would either give an excuse for it, or, you know, I would always find some way to respond that wasn't in the best way. And I think it was for two reasons. One, maybe I was I didn't want to disappoint someone else, and two, I was protecting myself, I guess, from feeling inadequate, maybe, or, you know, just inferiority feelings. So I had to really learn how to take criticism and to step back and say, there's something for me to learn in this situation. I can either, you know, learn it and improve, or I can be defensive. Or I can say, now, that person really isn't correct, and they're, speaking out of, meanness, anger, whatever, and I can learn to just let it go and not affect me. And, you know, that really is learning to deal with your ego and learning some humility so that, you know, we're not hurt by every negative thing that is said to us or situation that we're in. And, you know, there's something to learn in every situation, and we're not always here to teach other people. We're here to learn, too. So, you know, that was big for me. And, you know, because, I mean, that's just always been, you know, a struggle. My defense mechanisms always sort of kick in when I should be stepping back and learning.
Right. Well, you know, people's opinions are people's opinions, but we tend to be influenced by them. And what we don't realize is that they have a lot of baggage as well. they're going to have some. Everybody has some. And their reactions and their comments are based on their past as well. So but that does take work. I mean, I find myself doing the same thing. The first thing I do if somebody has an opinion that's that goes against what I've done or what I'm doing is question myself. But there is something to be learned in everything, and I think we need to keep our eyes and our ears open at all times. So if you were to tell listeners today the one thing that they can do or start doing, the first step that they can take to feeling great, what would that be?
Oh, I would definitely say taking time out, learning to spend some time in silence, learning to decompress. It's just so important to be able to spend time with ourselves, to understand who we are, and pay attention to the energy that we put out and that we're allowing to affect us. I would say, you know, and I think we've all said many times, I don't have time for that. I don't have time to meditate. I don't have time to, you know, just sit and take 5 minutes out for myself. Well, you know, I think we all can admit that we would have at least 2 minutes, you know, several times throughout the day that we can just, you know, stop for a minute. And one of the things that we talk about is taking 2 minute breaks. You know, if you can't take an hour, you know, to meditate or do yoga, whatever, take the 2 minutes periodically throughout the day. And if you go to the Brahma Kumaris website, there's a Brahma Kumaris US website, they have some guided meditations that are just 2 minutes, and it's a great way to get started. And then, you know, you wouldn't need the guided meditations anymore probably. But you know what? It's just such an easy way to get started. And, you know, once you get started and you start feeling the benefits, it's much easier to take 5 minutes here and there throughout the day. And then if you can take even more time at the end of the day, it's so much easier to find yourself in a calm state because you've been practicing it throughout the day. But trust me, even 2 minutes can make such a difference.
That's true. That's great advice. That's great advice. You know, there's a comment here on page 149. It says, your body is the temporary home of your soul. and this is just on a broader sense, it has been given to you by God, and whether you admit it to yourself or not, you are responsible for what you do with it. And that is absolutely true. We always have choices. We think we don't, but we always do have choices. We run our lives, our own lives. Nobody's really running them for us. We may allow somebody to, but we are the ones making the choices. Is there anything that you want to share? I mean, why don't you talk a little bit about your book and where it can be found, and maybe your experience writing it with, with your co-authors, and whatever you want to tell us.
Okay. Well, first of all, the book is available as an ebook or paperback from Amazon, at Barnes & Noble. Any great bookstore should be carrying Feeling Great, I would hope. You can also go to feelinggreatbook.com. And then the publisher, HCI Books, go to hcibooks.com. Not only will you find Feeling Great, but you're going to find a lot of other really great books that, will help from, books on recovery and addiction to great cookbooks, books on parenting, health and fitness, just a whole range of nonfiction, great nonfiction books. You can always go to hcibooks.com. And I think I would want to just
What happened? Oh, we lost Kelly. I hope she'll call back in. Somehow her call dropped. I don't know what happened. Okay. Well, if she doesn't come back on, then I will just go ahead and close the show. But I want to talk. Tell you again, the book is called Feeling Great, Creating a Life of Optimism, Enthusiasm, and Contentment. And it's by authors Dottie Jenke, Peter Vegso, and today's guest, Kelly Johnson. So Kelly shared a lot with us about how to feel great. And, when I first saw this title, I thought, feel great all the time. Well, I have fibromyalgia. I have chronic fatigue. I have certain things that I deal with. And I don't always physically feel great. But when we have these tools of feeling great within, that is really everything, because it helps our attitude deal with all the things that come down the pike and the challenges that we face every day, and physical challenges and emotional challenges and life challenges. Every day is different in life. We just don't know what's happening. So that is what this book is about, and I recommend that you get it. It's by Health Communications, Inc., which is hcibooks.com. And, start your way. Start getting on the way to feeling great. So it doesn't look like, let me see. Yeah, I guess Kelly doesn't realize that her call has dropped. So I will thank her online, on air here, for being my wonderful guest and inspiring us with her words and all the lessons that she's learned through writing this book and just through her own life. And I really appreciate that. I really appreciate her being my guest today, and I'm sorry she had to disappear on us. But thank you, Kelly. When you listen to the show, you will hear my gracious thank you. So our time is running out for today, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. Randy is always R-A-N-D-I, so that's loveyourlife@randygfine.com. And my website is also randygfine.com, R-A-N-D-I-G-F-I-N-E.com. My website, you definitely want to go there, because I have so much information there, so many great articles that I write, that I share from other people, that will address pretty much anything that you are interested in. If you're listening to the show, you're going to love my website, because it's the same type of things. It's all about being a better person, learning to live in your own skin, and addressing issues that that come your way. There's a lot of support in those articles. And also on my website, there's a show page. So if you want to go to the website and find any of the shows that I've done, you can go to my Talk Radio show page, and it lists everything, and there's a link to each show. So it's real easy. You can read the descriptions, click on the link, and there you are. You'll be listening to the show. And about the show, I would love, if you enjoy my shows, if you would become a show follower. At the top of every page is an opportunity for you to click on Follow Me. And when you do, you get amazing programming. You will find out all about all the shows that I'm doing. And I'm at the point now where I don't look for my guests. I get sent them by publicists. And these are publicists of, you know, great stature. So the guests that I have are all top-notch, top-quality people. And so you definitely want to hear these people speak, because I learn a tremendous amount on this show from my guests. And I read, if they have a book, I read the book. So I'm learning constantly. And you can do that, too, through listening to my shows. All my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or, again, through the show links on my website. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, Randy G. Fine, RandyGFine.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be the change. Better way.